For the disciples and for those followers of Jesus, they thought life was hopeless. Friday had come. Jesus had been crucified and placed in the tomb. The ladies waited until the Sabbath was over, and early Sunday morning, they came to finish putting the oils on Jesus' body to prevent some of the decay from setting on quickly. And they got to the tomb early Sunday morning. Mary and another Mary, Matthew 28 tells us. And when they got there, they found something amazing. The ground had shook, and an angel had descended from heaven and rolled the stone away. And the angel was sitting on the stone while two soldiers lay completely fainted, passed out, overwhelmed on the ground. I like to call that the angel with an attitude. Man, he rolled that stone away, and then he sat on it. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. You're seeking Jesus who was crucified? He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples." It was the message that Jesus was alive. That evening, the first Easter morning, resurrection morning, that evening, Jesus appears to his disciples, and he shows them his hands that had been pierced and his feet. And they are amazed that he says, "Peace be with you." They are overwhelmed and ecstatic. Jesus has come back to life. We thought there was no hope. There's hope. Jesus is alive. But one of the disciples wasn't there. His name was Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. And Thomas said, "Look, unless I see the risen Jesus with my own eyes, unless I can place my fingers in his hands where that were pierced, I just can't grasp this." The next Sunday, Jesus appears to his disciples again. And there, Thomas sees him. And Jesus speaks to Thomas and says, "Look, man, you can put your fingers in the prints." And Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God." John the apostle was with the disciples when they saw Jesus on resurrection morning. He was with the disciples the next week when Jesus visited with them again. John the apostle saw the resurrected Lord. Jesus spent some time with them on the earth teaching and instructing. And then in Acts chapter 1, the Bible says that he ascended into heaven. And John the apostle was there. He saw the resurrected Lord. And he saw the ascended Lord. Now it's about 60 years later. John, because of his Christian faith, has been punished and put on an Isle of Patmos, which is a big rock out from the Roman Empire. And he was placed there as a punishment. It was the Roman answer to Alcatraz. He's put out there. And he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me say, 'I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last.'" And he turns around and he said, "I saw one like the Son of Man." That's an Old Testament phrase from the book of Daniel, referring to deity, referring to God. He said, "I turned around and I saw one like the Son of Man. I saw one who looked like God. He had he was clothed in a robe. He had a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like bronze. His voice spoke like a multitude of waters. And I saw in his hand there were seven stars. And out of his mouth came a two-edged sword." And Jesus speaks and says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am he who was alive and dead and now is alive forevermore. And behold, I hold the key of death and Hades. John the apostle got to see the glorified Lord. He not only saw the resurrected Lord and the ascended Lord, but now he saw the full glory of God on display in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 2, John anticipates the returning Lord. Jesus is alive. He came the first time to be crucified for our sin, but he is coming again. And what we find in Revelation chapter 22 is the final invitation. Because Jesus is coming, there is one final invitation given in the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter of the Bible, in some of the last verses of the Bible, for you to be ready if Jesus comes or if you go and step into eternity. It is the final invitation. You can take your Bible or look at your worship guide on the back part. There's the verse that we're going to be looking at today. It's Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17. Revelation 22, 17 says this, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." With that, let's pray. Lord, I ask for you to speak to us today. God, that you would guide our hearts. Lord, that you would put us in tune with your word today and with the fact that you are alive and with the challenge that you are coming again. In your name I pray. Amen. It's interesting in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17 because there are two calls to come. It first says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, the church, the bride of Christ, the church is called the bride of Christ, are praying for Jesus to come. So they're saying, Lord, you have said that you are going to come. Matter of fact, if you look in Revelation chapter 22, there are three times that Jesus says, I am coming quickly. In verse number 7, he says, I am coming quickly. In verse number 12, he says, I am coming quickly. In verse number 20, he says, I am coming quickly. And so the Spirit and the church are saying, Lord, look at this world in which we live. Lord, look at the chaos in which we live. All the way back in the first century, 90 plus AD. Lord, come. So they're praying for Jesus to come, come again. But then there's another call. And it says, let those who hear say, come. This is those who have heard the good news of the gospel. These are for those who know Jesus Christ personally. And what they're doing is they're calling for others. They're calling for people in the world around them, for them to come to Jesus to be prepared in case Jesus comes today. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, now is the accepted time, and today is the day of salvation. There is this sense in which the final invitation is an invitation with urgency. Jesus is going to come, or you are going to go and step into eternity, and you must be ready. The Spirit and the bride are saying, Jesus, come. Man, look at the world in which we live. But then when we hear the good news of Jesus, we're telling others, please come. Be ready for Jesus. He's coming again. He's alive. He's coming. As we think about that truth, it gives the picture of drinking of the water of life. There is this biblical depiction that there is a sense in which water, or the thirst for water, is given a picture of which we all have a spiritual thirst in our life. That there is this spiritual hankering in our life, to use one of my Georgia or Mississippi terms. It's a spiritual hunger that we have. It's a desire to know that we are in a right relationship with God, that we have eternal life, that we're forgiven of sin, that if we die today, we would go to heaven. It's a joy to know that as I lay my head down on my pillow at night, that if something happened to me while I sleep, that I know where I'm going. And the picture is those who have heard that reach out to others and they say, come. So I want us to think about three questions around this verse. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And then those who have heard the gospel say, come. So who does this invitation come to? First, it comes to all. The invitation comes to all. It says, whoever desires. The picture is, it just doesn't make any difference on your race, your nationality, your ethnicity. It doesn't make any difference what tribe or language you come from. It doesn't make any difference what socioeconomic class you on or what education requirements that you may think that you have to meet in order to understand everything. No, the Bible, the biblical picture is that this is an invitation to all. It is laid out there for all, whoever. Let those who have heard call out to others, to everyone, man, woman, boy, girl, children, all across the world. For God so loved the world, and let them come. But it's not just a generic invitation to all. It's a generic invitation to me and to you. If you've not come to that personal place of knowing in your heart that you have drank of the water of life, or you have received salvation. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. If you don't know for certain that your walk with God is right, then the invitation is for you. It's not just a generic, oh, look, at that. They need it. They need it. No, the picture is that we all need it. It comes to us. Several years ago, I came to recognize in my life that because of things that I had thought and said and done, that I would be disqualified from a perfect heaven with a perfect God. I couldn't climb a ladder or do enough good things in order to earn God's favor. And the Bible clearly showed, and I began to understand, that Jesus came and he died on the cross to take the punishment for our sin. And then he rose again, that I could take freely his gift of forgiveness and salvation in my life. If you've not received that invitation, if you've not accepted that invitation, the call is to you personally. But what does the invitation involve? Notice back in Revelation 22 in verse number 17, as we look at this chapter, it says that whoever desires, let him drink of the water of life or take of the water of life freely. The picture is that there is this essence in which there is a gift for all of us to take the water of life. This is a picture of receiving salvation, the water of life. You realize that your body can live for 3, 4, maybe even upwards to 5 or 6 weeks without food. Jesus fasted for 40 days. But you can only live for about 3 days without water. Water is a source of life. And what is being highlighted here is that you cannot make it eternally and spiritually without Jesus. It's understanding that we can't earn heaven on our own. But the scripture tells us that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we can be saved. What we have talked about today, what we have heard about today in coming to the point of recognizing who Jesus is and that he's alive and that the issues of my life and the sins of my life can be changed. But listen, it says that we are to receive this free drink, this free gift of the water of life. And it is something that cannot be earned without by my human effort. It can't be earned or deserved because of my good deeds. And it can't be something that I look at myself and say, I'm religious and I went to a catechism class, or I went to a Bible class, or I joined a church, or I was baptized, or I was christened, or I gave money, or I served somewhere. No, the Bible says that if that was the case, then we would want to brag about it. You'd say, man, I'm at heaven because I did this, and I'm at heaven because I did this. Man, I gave a lot of money. I taught a lot of classes. And that would point the emphasis to us. It would be us bragging about how good we were in order to get to heaven. When the Bible says, no, there's none good, no, not one, there's none righteous. So Jesus, as he came, says, look, I love you, and you can receive the free gift of eternal life by belief. Paul would put it this way, for by grace, God's goodness to us, we are saved by faith. And I might add that word, faith alone. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, of my human merit, my good deeds, my religious things that I do. not of works, lest I should boast. He made it very clear that I'm not in this to look at me and to say, wow, he got into heaven because he was a really good dude. The picture is that we only get to heaven one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The invitation for you is clear today. If you don't know for certain that you have been forgiven of your sin, that you have received Jesus in your life, that you have eternal life, that you know if you die today and that you would go to heaven, then you can receive that free gift. It's not of your works. It is a free gift that you receive by faith, by believing in Jesus alone. But we go back to Revelation chapter 22, and we find that there is a sense of urgency to this final invitation. We recognize that there is a picture. He says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And it's with a sense of intensity. So why is this final invitation so important? Why is this invitation important to us? First off, this invitation has eternal consequences. It has eternal consequences. This is not just talking about if I'm going to buy a red car or a blue car. This is not if I'm going to go to this college or this university or I'm going to go over here. Those can have a difference in life, but this is an eternal difference. In the heated political season that we were in this fall, people made a big deal of talking about, when you look at that decision that you're making, are you going to be on the right side of history? Are you going to be on the wrong side of history? As people look back at that, are they going to say you were making the right decision on the right side of history, or you were making the wrong decision and you were on the wrong side of history? Let me tell you. This invitation is urgent because it's going to determine where you spend the right side or the wrong side of eternity. Whether you are in heaven with the Lord or you are separated from Him because of your sin forever and ever. It is a vital decision. It is an important decision. It has eternal consequences. But it is also important because it is the final invitation of Scripture. It is the final invitation. Listen, there is a time, I know not when, and there will be a place, I know not where you will get your final invitation to come to Jesus Christ. It could be today. This could be the last time you hear someone share with you to come to Jesus. Over the weekend, yesterday, Emma Murano, the oldest known lady surviving in the world, died. She was 117 years old. She was born on November the 29th, 1899. And as far as they can tell, she was the last person alive who was born in the 1800s. 117 years old. I can't guarantee how long you're going to live, but I can guarantee you are going to die or Jesus is going to come. It was last year at this time, actually Friday will be 1 year to when I had my right kidney removed. After feeling good and going through life and doing what I was doing, I had an appendicitis and they looked at me and said, you have kidney cancer. And can I tell you, it changed my life. You hear those words. Some of you know. It changes your life. But the real truth is that when we get out on 70, when we go back and forth to work, when we're just hanging around the house, we have no guarantees of life at all. But the Bible says that we do have a guarantee of death. But here's the good news. John 5:24. As the Lord says, look, you don't have to fear. I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, and he does not have to fear condemnation. He doesn't have to fear the judgment of God, separation from God. He's heard the words of Jesus, responded to the person of Jesus, understood the plan of Jesus. That Jesus came, he never sinned, he was God and man, and he died on the cross to take the punishment for our sin, and he rose again. And Paul makes it very clear, if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for you, and as we celebrate today, that he rose for you, and receive him in your life, then you can be saved. And the word saved gives a picture of safe for eternity. But it's only found through one person, one way, Jesus. Do you know him? There's coming a time, I do not know when, and there's coming a place, I do not know where you will hear your final invitation. Let him who hears the good news of the gospel, as they say, come to you, there will come a time when it will be the last time you hear the word come. But would you say yes to him today? Would you just nail that down today so you don't have to worry about it anymore? He can take care of the issues you're facing. You don't have to measure up to a standard. It's a matter of faith and trusting what Jesus did on the cross and trusting that he's alive today and receiving him in your life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? This is the final invitation of Scripture. It's a final invitation for people to be ready if Jesus comes or if they go and step into eternity. Listen, I don't know how to make it any clearer. I can't guarantee how long you're going to live, but I can guarantee that either Jesus is going to come or you're going to die and step into eternity, and you need to be ready. Would you say yes to him today? Listen, in your heart today, maybe you just need to do business with the Lord and say, Lord, I know I've sinned, and I know and I believe with all of my heart that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin, and I'm sorry for those things I've done wrong. Jesus, I believe you died for me, and Jesus, I believe you're alive, that you rose, and I need you in my life. Jesus, come in. Forgive me. Jesus, today I believe. That's the decision that you have to make today. It's not about you joining this church. It's not about you trying to please someone around you. It's about you doing business with the Lord so that you'll be ready in case Jesus comes or you go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you take these next moments of invitation. God, that you would speak to the glory of God in your name.